Welcome to Mind the Skills Gap, where we explore the barriers to skills transfer and how you can overcome them, flavoured with a sprinkle of neuroscience and AI. In this episode, two heads of learning from animal care, Cheryl Lawrence Tarr and Esther Furcado, share their own experiences about learning skills, how to embed learning culture into business strategy, and why advocacy from top down is so important in a business facing rapid change and growth. Listen to their selection process for choosing the right learning technology to support a compact learning team in a science-based business with a lot of expert know-how. And find out how they use that learning technology to ensure their subject matter experts pass on their specialist knowledge and skills to others in this complex business focused on looking after your pets. I'm Stella Collins, an evangelist for the neuroscience of learning and co-founder and chief learning officer at Stella Labs. Watch out, Skills Gap. We're coming for you. Hello, and welcome back to Mind the Skills Gap. I'm really happy today to have two very interesting women with me, Cheryl Lawrence Tarr and Esther Furcado from Animal Care Group. I'm very interested to hear, you know, about your journey, your interest in skills, and you know how you're kind of using technology to support you in your business and your organization. Perhaps you can just give us a very quick intro as to what Animal Care Group is, because I think it's really interesting for people to understand that. So perhaps Cheryl, you could just give us a really quick intro to that.
Yeah, hi Stella. I'm really pleased to be here. So yeah, Animal Care is an organization that focuses on the products that we use with our pets, really. So prescription products and some non-prescription products to take care of our pets. We have a broad range of products in our portfolio, and we're based geographically in 6 markets, but we have a presence in many more. And we're on a very big growth trajectory at the moment. So we're doing a lot of work internally within our organisation to build our capabilities for now and for the future. So yeah, a really exciting organisation to be in.
Right. And everybody loves their pets, don't they? They're very important to people. So Cheryl, as you started, I'll just carry on. So you're head of commercial excellence at Animal Care, and Esther, you're head of learning and development. So how does that, you know, how does that come together? Because that's quite an interesting connection.
Yeah, so I guess in terms of my role as head of commercial excellence, there are three key areas that I focus on in my role. So business processes, the tools to support those processes, and probably most pertinent for this podcast, building capability within our commercial organisation. So within our marketing teams, within our sales teams, and also within our technical teams. So there's a lot of scope in those roles and a lot of variety in those roles. But the key goal for me really is to support those teams to build their capabilities to do their roles as best as they possibly can do.
Okay, and how does that connect with you, Esther, as L&D head of?
So yes, as head of learning and development, at the end, my role is much to support the whole organization in order to get their capabilities, not just the commercial teams, but also all of the rest of the team, that they are having the best support in order to develop all of the capabilities, all of the skills that we want for them. Since, well, we will be explaining in a little while, we have been doing a work that we are continuously developing the people, or that's our objective, is that they take this ownership in order to develop each of them, that they can develop themselves. So my role is actually to support all of this development and also to support the line managers in order to get to make easy for them to develop the teams.
Okay, great. And a question that we haven't sort of thought about, but I'd just love to ask, is just, you know, what's the kind of learning culture at Animal Care? Because there's obviously lots of development going on, lots of capability development. What would you say your learning culture is?
It's like something that in continuous development. So in the starting, maybe the people were a little bit like, you know, waiting for the company to develop them. And we have been having this journey. since we started all of this journey, changing this culture into taking them, so making them taking this ownership about their own development, also having the best person in the best position. That's always something that I really think it's important. So they are having this own interest in their own positions. So at the end, this is supporting them into develop in their own positions. So at the end, that's the culture that we want to transmit, or that's that we want to give to the company itself, that they are taking this ownership, and they are, so we are supporting, of course, and we are creating these opportunities, but they are the first ones to develop themselves. And if you are not interested, you are never going to develop, as and it doesn't matter how many things the company is offering you.
So it's a real shift in the company culture. As you grow, your learning maturity is also kind of developing as well. That's really nice. So you've gone from people thinking that the company does this for us to we have to do this for ourselves. That's great. That's a really nice shift. And I guess it's a really important one in a company that's growing very, very, very quickly. Okay, so perhaps just tell us a little bit about your careers and how you've kind of, I think what I'm really interested in is to how you've developed your skills as you've gone on, and perhaps we'll go back to you, Cheryl.
Yeah, so I won't say exactly how many years I've been in the pharmaceutical industry, but at least a couple of decades and a bit more. So most of my career I've spent in pharmaceuticals, and most of that time is in big pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer and AbbVie. And I guess the thing that I've learned most about development is don't be afraid to try something. Don't be afraid to step outside of your comfort zone. And I've been really fortunate that I've been given and I've taken quite a lot of different opportunities. So for sometimes moving into roles where I wasn't sure it was exactly for me or I had exactly the right skill set. And it's actually really amazing what you learn on the job. So learning on the job, I think, is a really important area that we mustn't forget. It's that sort of 70%, we think about 70-20-10. And I've moved different roles, different companies. And the one thing I think that's helped me all the way through is to always be curious. Always be curious, always look for another opportunity to grow. And sometimes that's formal opportunities, but a lot of the time it's those informal opportunities where you learn from other people, you do secondments, you step into somewhere where you haven't necessarily got the skill set that's needed for that role. And just to be a bit confident that you'll be fine, you'll work your way through it. And actually at the end of it, you look back and think, I learned a lot. Even if it was tough, I learned a lot. So don't be afraid and be really curious and take those opportunities when they arise, because that's probably where you're going to get the biggest learns.
I think that's really interesting. And there's a whole pile of things there, isn't there, about being brave, being curious, and just that kind of reflecting, making sure that you've thought about the experience you've had. And
yeah.
What did you learn from that? And I think taking that time to reflect is also really important. And I guess getting some support to do that too.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing I've learned, I think, is that in the organisations that I've been part of, there has always been a really strong culture of learning. So Esther talks about that ownership. There's always been a sense that it's down to the individual ultimately to learn. Yes, there's support to help you do that, but ultimately it's your responsibility as an individual. I think once you understand that, you can really make the most of it.
That's great. And Esther, how about you? What have you learned, the skills that you've got?
So I haven't had that much experience, but I've been like in animal care for 8 years or so, and previously, my professional career, I've been working in human resources department my whole career. So at the end, how I've learned all of these skills is that everywhere that I've been, I've always had really great line managers, really great people surrounded by. So I really think that I've been really fortunate, because I've always had someone from who to learn, and I've been always like looking for this different roles in the company or having all of these people that I've been surrounded by, that I've always grown so much. So of course I started I didn't start in learning and development. I started on the legal environment. So I really needed, so for me, it was a little bit difficult at the beginning because I needed just to make this step forward, since it was something about communication, so communicating a lot. So this, I think that it's a skill that is really helping you a lot in all of the positions that you can go in any company, in any department, something that it's really, that I think it has been really important for me in order to develop my own career. And at the end, that communication and also being surrounded by really, really a lot of people that has many things to learn, to teach, and also really open to learning from everyone, because I really think that you can always learn something from everyone that you are with in a company. So this is something that I really think that it has helped me a lot in order to develop my nowadays skills.
Please excuse this interruption. At Stellar Labs, we help you build business critical skills, not just knowledge. Add the missing pieces to your learning journeys to take people from knowing to doing. Want to know how? Visit stellarlabs.io to learn more. Now, back to the episode.
Fantastic. And I heard quite a lot of interesting things in there. So I definitely heard social learning. And I know we've got Nigel Payne coming to talk to us in, I think it's April or May, June even, about social learning. I think that's really important. But what I was picking up from what you were saying was, you know, when we talk about the transfer of skills, there's kind of three really big buckets of transfer levers, things that help people to transfer their skills into the workplace. And what I've heard from you there, both of you, is, you know, kind of the learner themselves, you need to be self-motivated, you need to be wanting to learn and kind of have that desire to want to grow and change. And then you need that support from other people, from the organization, for them to be open to you learning. And then the piece that perhaps we haven't really talked about so much, but we've kind of half mentioned, kind of the more formal parts, and how when you have a really good design and everything is kind of focused towards transfer, that's when you kind of get the results and the impact that you're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really interesting to hear your personal kind of challenges on it. When you sort of became aware of Stellar Labs and when you began to think about learning technology, what were the kind of learning performance challenges you were facing at Animal Care?
I guess for me, when I came into the organisation, I'd come from bigger organisations where I was used to having a framework for learning. And I guess here, because of the way that our organisation has been growing, we were starting with more of a blank sheet of paper. And immediately for me, it became really apparent that we were missing something, that there was a lot of great knowledge in the organisation. And we spent a lot of time trying to transfer knowledge, but we weren't always necessarily helping people learn. And for me, that was quite a gap. And I could see that with some of the sales teams and how we were trying to launch products and provide them with all of the learning that they need in order to, you know, speak to their customers. And for me, there was a big gap. We were trying to build a learning culture. So Esther's talked about the learning culture, but we didn't have some of the tools to help us do that. And that's when I started having conversations with Carla, who's head of people and culture, and Esther, to start to discuss that we really needed to look for something that would really help us as an organisation. But also, as a relatively small organisation, we don't have huge amounts of internal resource. We don't have big learning and development teams. We don't have learning partners. So we have to find a way to do this really effectively, but also really efficiently with relatively limited resource. So that's when we started looking around, what could we use, what's out there. So that's really how it started.
Okay, interesting. Anything from your side, Esther? Anything additional?
Yes, just saying that, yes, it is true that what Cheryl has been saying, that of course we don't have that much resources, so I really need just to create this buy-in in the different departments of the organization, so make them understand how important it is to create this learning transfer methodology because of course it's like many people in the company has a lot of knowledge, but sometimes it is difficult for them in making this learning transfer into the other team members. So this has been like the biggest challenge that we have faced.
Yeah, I think that's true of a lot of, well, any company that has strong technical people, you know, whether that's science or engineering, I think it's really important that, you know, there are these people who've got this. It is knowledge, but it's not just information knowledge. It's the knowledge of how to do something and to try and have them transfer that. And for them, it's very difficult as an expert to be able to sort of come back to, you know, what's it like to be new at this role, or what's it like to, you know, not have this skill or this ability to do something. It's very hard for them to try and, I always think it's a bit like trying to explain to somebody in clear detail how you ride a bike. You know, you can show somebody how to ride a bike, but it's really hard to tell them how to ride a bike.
Yeah.
And I think any of these skills that, you know, technical skills, it's really hard to explain it. So yes, you know that knowledge, and it's more than knowledge, isn't it? It's the ability to be able to do is in their heads, but how do they get that out? Brilliant. Okay, so you were looking for something that was, you know, going to help you. You have a smaller team. So what were you looking for in the learning technology that you were looking for? What was kind of your, I don't know, your criteria perhaps?
Yeah. So at the end, so my first criteria is that it needed to be, so at the end, a technology, it's just a way of, so it's just the way, it's not the objective itself. So we weren't looking for a concrete technology, but just one that could serve to our purposes, that was transferring in the best way possible all of this knowledge that we were having internally in the company. So at the end, I was having conversations with many different companies, and we were looking for, so I was asking many things, what they were have, if they were having like already content for themselves, or how was this being created? What was the processes? So many things I was asking. But at the end, what I was seeing that I wasn't seeing in another companies is that, or something that for me it was really, really, really easy or really easy for me to choose it, is that since you are also in the process of creating something, creating a new platform or a new, so we were able also to say something about it, and we are able to say what do we think that it's important for us, so you can implement it also into the platform. And this has been like, or at least my experience is that we have asked for something and you have implemented. So for us, it has been something, or for me, it has been something really helpful. And of course, the artificial intelligence support that has been also really something easy, because it has supported the designers of the content in order to create so the best way of transferring this knowledge.
Okay, so it's that ability to sort of, because we're a new company and you're relatively new too, that ability to kind of influence the way things happen. And, you know, and that's exactly what we want from our customers. We want to know what they need, because that will help us build things that people want, not just build things that we think are important. Having said that, I still think it's really important that, you know, our kind of grounding in the science of learning is, I think that also connects, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a really strong element, I think, of what you offer is that we are basing what we do in science, particularly from a company that's based in science. You know, talking about the neuroscience of learning kind of resonates with subject matter experts who are also scientists. And I think understanding how our brain learns and really embedding that in the product, if you like, in the process that you've developed, the gear process, really helps us ensure that our subject matter experts, who will be in essence creating those learner journeys, have a really strong framework with which to base those learner journeys. They don't have to be expert in learning design, which is really important, but we can be confident that the process they're following will optimize the learning of the people who are going through those learning programs. So it gives us an extra piece of reassurance as well, I think, that we've got something that is strong in terms of optimizing the learning that we're trying to do in the organization.
Yeah, and for me, my experience has been that scientists absolutely love to know how their brains work. And you know, they like to challenge those questions as well. So yeah. I like working with scientists because they're always curious, aren't they? Okay, so what's been your experience with using the Stellar Labs TAP platform and perhaps other technology you've used? And perhaps from that, it'd be useful to understand, you know, what kind of advice would you offer to other people who perhaps are looking at, you know, any new technology, but well, any new learning technology, but particularly perhaps if they're thinking about Stellar Labs, what's been your experience?
Yeah, I guess comparing it with, so I've used a number of different, I guess, learning platforms in different organisations. And one of the big differences for me is, and Esther mentioned it, the fact that we have AI to support us, I think really speeds up that process of starting off. So when working in other organisations with other platforms, you have to have all that information ready to go. You have to kind of, and that takes a lot of time to pull all of that information together, find all of the resources, but there's almost a shortcut in the fact that you can utilize AI to help you start. It doesn't write the program for you fully, and you still need to put your flavor, your organizational language into it, but it's a really fantastic start. So for me, taking it from a learning design perspective, it's a great shortcut. That piece is a great tool embedded that really helps. And I really like the fact that the framework is already there for you from a learning design perspective. So it guides you through step by step how to create this really optimal learner journey. So I think for me, not having to rely on learning design expertise internally is great, because we don't have, as I say, those big learning and development teams that other organizations sometimes have. And I think that really gives me confidence that what comes out the other end from a learning program is really good quality. So in other organizations, what we've had to do is spend a lot of time with our subject matter experts, almost giving them a quick learn in what is learning design, what do you need to do, and that's fine. But every time a new subject matter expert comes through, you're having to do that again. And, you know, it's very difficult to keep everyone up to speed, whereas having the framework almost puts them straight into that framework. And if they follow the steps, they're guided through that. And I think that creates a great learner journey at the end of it. It doesn't mean that we just let that happen and we don't go back in and check and refine, because we still support the subject matter experts, but there's less kind of immediate handholding required all the way through the process. So that makes a huge difference. It's just more user-friendly, I think, Stella. So I've put a learning program on there just to see what it was like as a learning designer to go through the process. And it's really easy to follow. It's very user-friendly. I have used the AI, and that's been really helpful. But I've always made sure that what goes in there sounds like it comes from animal care, yeah, which I think is really important. And you can do that. That's not a problem. So I've really enjoyed using it to create that learning program that I've been involved in. And hopefully other people will feel the same.
That's great.
Yes, and I've already had like some feedback regarding, in order, not only from Cheryl but from other content creators, that they have had the same experience, and they never had experience in creating learning journeys at all. So this is their first experience, and it has been already really positive because for them it has been really supporting a lot in this, and they can do it on their own, and they don't need, because as Cheryl was saying, it's like in other programs that you don't have any artificial intelligence support or all of this methodology already in the program. It's like you need support in your step by step, and you really need a lot of time together. And so in this case, it has been something I think really helpful for them, and that it has really made a change for them and for me, or and for us.
Yeah. And I remember working with AbbVie at one point, Cheryl, and actually, you know, teaching subject matter experts, yes, kind of the neuroscience, exactly, of learning. And it took us, you know, quite a few weeks. And
yes,
and they were very keen and enthusiastic, but there was still no guarantee at the end of it that they would change what they did. We didn't know.
No.
But at least this way, they're kind of prompted regularly to work in a definitely kind of a more brain friendly way. Okay, I think it'd be really interesting to know as well, you know, integrating any new system, any new process is always, you know, it's a change for everybody in the organization. And I think, you know, bringing in things like, well, we're encouraging you to use AI, we're encouraging you to work with mentors, probably lots of change for both the designers, but also for the people at the end, the learners. You know, what challenges did you encounter in terms of, you know, resistance to change, or maybe you didn't have any, and how have you resolved them?
So for me, as in any organization, you always have people that for them it's easy to use technologies, or they are kind of attracted in using new technologies, and some other people that just don't, or for them it's more difficult. So just for me, it has been, or what I see is that it has been difficult to make them understand that it will be easier for them once they know how to use it, or, you know, once they have started, then it will be for them easier to use it and to create all of this. So for me, it has been something that you really need to put a little bit of effort in showing them, in making, because the platform itself, I think it's really easy, really friendly. It has not any problem, but if you have this previous resistance, you need to show them and have this first starting with them, so they see that this is really easy to use it. So for me, this has been like really a challenge that I've face in order to create this buy-in into the platform and in order to implement the platform in the company.
So you've had to kind of hold their hands a little bit at the start and kind of help them, give them an example and help them see. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And has maybe, that been quite, sorry.
Yeah. Start. So enter into the platform with them, showing them you can go here. It's really easy. Click here into start. Then it will support you with the artificial intelligence. So really, and then they were saying, oh, that's really easy to use. And it's like, yes, it's really easy. So it has been like something. But on the other side, it hasn't been like really something really difficult that I couldn't, you know, that I couldn't face. It has something that it's part of the process, and it has been easy for them to go into the platform and make it like for them easier to use it.
But still important to have that human element of, you know, I'm going to help you, I'm going to support you. That's great. Anything else from you, Cheryl?
I guess the other thing is that I guess what we have tried to do is connect it to the bigger picture organizationally as well, because the people development is running very much through our strategy as a business, that we can't achieve our business goals unless we develop our people. So connecting this to the bigger picture around people development. So we've always had a conversation about the platform in the context of people development, because people understand our strategy and they understand now hopefully how important people development is. By connecting the platform to those two things, immediately there's a good why. So why are we doing this? We take them back to the bigger why. And I think to keep reminding people of this is really powerful, alongside, as Esther say, just supporting people. We haven't done a really big launch, so we kind of consciously decided that we would do what you might describe as a soft launch, but also a cascade. So starting with our senior teams, so that they, for example, our general managers all view the platform, they got some sense of how the platform works, how it can be useful for them coaching and developing their individual team members, and talking to them about how they could use this and how they can get their teams to use this to support their development. And so slowly we will gradually cascade this out further and further into the business, but we haven't put lots of content on there. We've put very targeted content on there for targeted groups so they can get familiar with it, then they can then start to act as advocates throughout the organization to support the rollout more broadly across the organization. But we deliberately decided not to do a really big rollout to everybody, because if we did that, you can't control the communication quite as effectively, and you need to build your advocacy carefully in the organization. I think that's what we're trying to do at the moment.
I think that's really, really useful advice for anybody who's implementing almost any change, to be honest. But, you know, certainly if you're trying to introduce new technology, that's really, really helpful. So what advice would you give to anybody who's wanting to, you know, to build skills in their organization? I've already heard, which I think is really interesting, that, you know, the people development is connected to the business strategy. It's not a separate thing, because sometimes you meet companies who have got a business strategy and we've got a learning strategy, and they're not actually talking to each other. So it's really great to hear that development for you is part of that business strategy. So perhaps you can expand on that a little bit and how you were able to do that, because I think that would be really interesting for people to know about how have you managed to connect people strategy to business strategy.
Yeah, I guess it's as you say, really important for all businesses to make a really strong connection between the two, because if the people strategy, if you find it difficult to connect the people strategy to the business strategy, it's much more difficult to get engagement and buy-in organizationally. So those two things have to go hand in hand. So our people strategy has to underpin and support our business strategy. And I think that's where we've got a really strong people strategy now. And I think the focus on, for example, developing our leaders, developing the commercial teams, we've got a very clear cascade in terms of how we want to focus on development for our teams. And that then provides us with our why. I think also we need to be mindful, I think we have, about what our starting point is when we're thinking about developing people. So we know where we want to go as a business. We know exactly where we want to go as a business. And we have a very good idea of what that means in terms of our people and what we need our people to be able to do for us to get there. And I think we also have tried to be realistic. We're very ambitious in our goals, but we have to be realistic around the pace, how quickly we can go, how much we can do, where, and that's why we're targeting and we're being much more measured in the way that we're approaching this, so that what that gives for us, I guess, Stella, is the opportunity to hear from our people as well. If something's working, we'll hear about it. But also if something's not working, we'll also hear about it. And it gives us a chance to course correct, refine, take on board the feedback. So what we're not doing is saying we have all the answers, we know this is the only way to get there. And that's why we've been trying to do a soft launch and a cascade, where we're allowing different groups time to come back and say, this is working, I've had a go, or this isn't working for me, so that we can get it right. But we have to do that over time and be realistic. We know we want to go, but also sometimes there are little loops in the road, there are little things that you have to overcome, little bumps in the road, and that's all part of change. And that's what we're doing. This is part of a much bigger change program, and it's being confident that that's okay. If we come to a bump in the road, then listen, find another way around it, and that's all part of the program, I think, really. And this is where hopefully I think the platform will really support us to do that, and that's why we're approaching it in the way we have, which I think is quite measured, ambitious, but with a realistic eye on what can we do as an organization and how do we do that and when do we do that.
I really love that thing that you're learning as you go along and learning, yeah. You know, learning to deal with, because bumps always happen, don't they? I
mean, you can't, absolutely.
Yeah. Life isn't perfect. So that's really good. Fantastic. And just as a kind of a last question, because I think this has been really interesting for other people, whether they're using our platform or using other platforms or even just going through change. I think the things you've been sharing are really, really valuable. So what are your top tips for, you know, building skills in an organization? And perhaps Esther will hear from you first.
So for me, the top tips would be like to be open and honest with what are the objective. So the skills that we are requiring from the team members, the competencies that we want for them, and being open and honest in order to say why it's important that these skills are the ones implemented and not another ones, because there's many skills or many competencies that we can implement. So for me, it's being this, having this openness in the company, in creating this this buy-in. For me, this is something that can really help a lot in order to create this learning culture in the company and in order to create all of this buy-in. And also would be also to have the support or the first support from the line managers, that they are being the first ones to coach the team members, to be themselves. So have this this ownership in order to develop themselves, to develop others. So at the end, that's the two things that I think it's are the most important ones.
I love that, that kind of, you know, your role as a manager is to develop yourself, to develop others. I think that's a really nice line. Thank you. Cheryl.
I would definitely agree with what Esther's saying there. And I think for me, one of the biggest things is that we build advocacy within the organization, whether that's advocacy for the strategy of people development, or whether it's advocacy for using the platform to create great learner journeys, that we have to create advocacy. So it can't all come from people like Esther or me or other people that are kind of heavily involved in this. It has to be something. For me, success is when I hear a general manager or a first line sales leader talk about the strategy with their team and really be passionate about it, because then we know that we've taken our strategy and our plans and it's starting to live in the teams. So for me, that's the measure of success, is am I seeing and hearing this throughout the organization? Am I starting to see some change in the organization, not just coming from people and culture or commercial excellence, but actually from within the organization itself? And that's about having advocates and people who really believe that this is something that can really make a difference for us organizationally, but also for the people in the organization as well, which is so important. If we don't have people engaged, then the business, you know, ambition becomes very, very difficult to achieve. So this is really helping us achieve our business results, but we're doing it in a way that hopefully will really engage people. And that's, for me, the biggest thing is we've got to engage people. And the one thing I think that we can definitely say that we have in Animal Care is very strong senior leadership advocacy for this. So we worked on that from the very, very beginning. And I mean, from CEO down, very strong advocates for developing our people and speaking directly to the target group. So I had the CEO come in and speak directly to the first line sales leaders about why developing their coaching skills is so important for them and for the business. So that level of advocacy will cascade if you start at the top and you cascade it down. And that's with any change. We know if we start with our senior leaders and they are genuine advocates, we will see that cascade into the organization. I think we've definitely seen that. And that's a very good signal for me that we're going to be successful with this.
That's such a joy, isn't it, when you get support from the top and they genuinely mean it. That is such a wonderful place to be in terms of, you know, your role in developing other people is, you know, that you're supported from the very top.
Yeah.
Cheryl and Esther, thank you both so much. I really enjoyed catching up with you. It's been really, really lovely, and we'll have to make sure we do this more often, I think.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing your time and your thoughts today. And I think this is going to be really interesting for all sorts of people out there. So thank you. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Mind the Skills Gap. If you liked it, hit subscribe. You can follow StellarCollins on LinkedIn and find out more about how Stellar Labs is tackling the skills gap on stellarlabs.io.